Hello there, I'm Coach Claire Akers, ex-employee and corporate girl turned business owner and coach. I'm the founder of Adesse and the creator of Audacity, the 8-step leadership transformation program. My small but mighty business is 100% focused on working with brave leaders and entrepreneurs on their authenticity and mindset so they can think big and live extraordinary lives. You're listening to the Adesse Audacity podcast. It features interviews with inspiring, authentic leaders, my best leadership coaching tips, and advice from industry experts on how to grow and scale a values-led company. I thought long and hard about whether to release this series during this testing period, and ultimately decided that the best way I can serve my community is by showing up and helping them be the best that they can be. Although we recorded a lot of the content prior to coronavirus, a lot of the themes we discuss are incredibly relevant for today: resilience, mindset, and showing leadership in tough times. So, maybe you're an entrepreneur or business leader of a fast-growing company who's excited to scale but wants to do it in the right way. Or maybe you're an aspiring leader looking for some inspiration. Whatever your situation, if you intend to be an extraordinary leader, you're in the right place. Ready? Let's jump in. So, today I am joined by Andy Park, who is co-owner of Creode Digital Agency in Leeds. Andy, thank you very much for allowing me into your offices.
No problems.
How are you doing on this cold November morning?
Good, fine, yes.
Now this is a bit of a special podcast recording because you were the very first filming interview I had with the Tech Leader series, so it's nice to be able to revisit the format. So can you start by giving us a run through of your background and how you got to be where you are today, if you don't mind.
Okay. I guess I'll just go as far back as is probably relevant. So I used to work in a digital agency in Leeds, worked in a couple actually for years, where I cut my teeth. And that was where I met Guy Weston. We worked for a company. I was a creative director. He was planning and strategy director. We eventually came out of that company and set up our own. 6 years ago now, maybe, something like that. Just the two of us, just with an idea of effectively doing something different, that's what everyone says. And it was user experience, because that's the work we were doing in the agency, the discovery phase work, really. So we set up a business doing that. We got some good contracts initially, some great clients. What we found was that people always wanted to also do the dev, the output for it, which was the lion's share of the project. So we were contracting that out. That became difficult to then manage going forward, so we decided we needed to have our own dev team, and we started employing our own dev team. During that time, we were talking to the guys who owned Creode then, who were exiting, two directors. So we decided to buy it, where we instantly got a dev team of 11. So that was an interesting experience overnight, going from a team of four to a team of 15 from 5:30 p.m. on the evening till 8:30 on the next morning. It was quite a first day at work.
Quite surreal, I guess.
It was very surreal, yeah. And that was 3.5 years ago. Since then, we are now 25, and we have joined forces with a great marketing company who were called Jump. And we're now offering a more broader set of services because our clients have matured, really. We've matured with them and they are asking for more, and we can now give them more. So it's been quite a journey from two people worried about spending £250 a month in the Round Foundry for a desk. And now overheads are just abstract.
It's a really good time for us to have a chat, really, because this is hot off the press, isn't it, with you joining forces?
Yeah, it is, actually, yes.
So it's very much an exciting time.
Yeah.
I remember the because you and I have known each other for 10 years.
Yes, Claire. Probably, yeah.
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 We're both a little older and a little wiser, yeah. I like to think.
Yeah.
But I remember speaking to you when I set up my business and you were working from home and, yeah. And just kind of, well, I'm sitting in your gorgeous offices now and you've got all the things you'd expect in a very successful, prestigious digital agency. Yeah. And it's been amazing watching the stratospheric rise, really.
Yeah, it has. I loved working from home, truthfully. There was such a peace to it. My life's busy anyways, really, family. But yeah, it was good. I was probably the healthiest I've ever been because I used to run and whatnot. Mm. And you're right, when you put it like that as a marker, okay, working from home 6 years ago to now city centre office over two floors with decals and screens and coffees and whatnot.
Inspirational all the people, quotes.
Inspirational quotes. it's, and soon to be neon sign if we can get away with it in the window. And it is, actually. Sometimes you can look and go, crikey, how did that all happen? Mm. Which, do you know, is actually comforting for the future because 6 years is not a lot of time for it to change quite dramatically. And if you think 6 years ahead, well, how far can it even keep changing? Mm. So it's not a lot of time, really, for things to happen.
So this podcast series is focusing on adventures in techland, which is a... bit of a grand title for what is essentially looking at entrepreneurship and what it takes to make it happen, essentially. That's what I'm really interested in, is what it takes for somebody to have an idea and actually translate that into reality, which I know we've had some great discussions on previously. And I think in Leeds as well, it's a really interesting time to be part of the technology and digital scene, because we've got so many great companies who've relocated up here, so Channel 4, all the various different companies that are now centred around here and doing funny things to the recruitment market, but that's a different topic. But there also seems to be a lot of startups, a lot of launches of software and various different ideas that just make it a really, really exciting scene to be part of.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good time to look at the concept of entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So from somebody who has gone from working in their back room, would you say?
Study, we call it study, Claire.
Sorry. Don't mean
but
to.
But yes, the back room, yeah.
Yeah. So in your opinion, what is it that takes... That takes it to take that seed and translate it into reality, do you think?
Right, a few things there. Firstly, entrepreneur. I wouldn't recognise myself as an entrepreneur. I don't know who does.
How would you describe yourself then?
We're a grafter. Do you know?
That is the most important quality.
What makes it happen? Okay, I think... people talk about appetite for risk. There is risk, but I don't think we see it as risk. I don't see it as risk. I see it as adventure.
Ah, nice. Right?
So the adventure comes with risk, and I actually wrap it all up in that. Even when you've got some pretty hairy moments around finances, which can happen, you just have to still see it as part of the adventure. What I've never saw it as was a dead-end wall or a frightening big hole that's going to suck me in. Never saw it as that. I've always just saw it as an obstacle to overcome. And for as long as you see it as a sense of adventure, I think you remain optimistic and open. And when you're in that frame of mind, then you will find ways around things. You will also recognise opportunities when they come and know to seize them, because you're just keeping this open, constantly moving frame of mind that you are going forward. You're not stuck in the mud. You're not going backwards. You're not in that kind of language, in any of those more negative frames of mind. So I guess the thing is that it's that frame of mind is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Keep optimistic and open and moving forward, and it all, because you can't plan ahead, really. Well, I can't. Can't plan ahead that amount. You also can't equally sit there and see all the traffic lights are on red. You just have to go, keep going and going and going, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that mindset and perspective is a really, really important quality to have, I think, because things are going to get tough.
Yeah, they've been tough. then they've been all right, and the same thing will happen again. Mm. And I guess I can see it's not for everybody, but it's probably for more people than they realise. I think more people would thrive in it if they put themselves in the opportunity.
I love that concept. So what advice could you have to someone who's perhaps playing it safe or doesn't know how to take themselves out of the comfort zone? Or
well, okay, it's hard because I've obviously been in that situation where I was in the comfort zone, employed at an Audi company, Audi, which is all very nice, three young kids, mortgage. It's very hard in that situation, I think, because your focus is on just getting to grips with this new life that you've got in terms of family life and stability.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard to convince someone to do it. But if you were to say now, and this is what I think seems to be the same for a lot of people you speak to, what would you say to yourself? I'd say, do it earlier. I'd like to have done this, and I was capable of doing this earlier than when I did do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm interested to explore your mindset. If you can cast your mind back to when you and Guy got the opportunity to come into Creo.
Yeah.
What was it, or what was your thought process to think, yeah, let's do it, this is our time?
I think me and Guy both have a similar, slightly gung-ho attitude. I'm actually more cautious than him.
Mm-hmm.
And we work quite well together in that he can drag us forward a bit more, and I can kind of slightly have the brakes on a bit, but we know that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So it frees us up to both be those people.
Mm-hmm.
And it can balance each other out. But nonetheless, I'm still fairly gung-ho in that, this is worth giving it a go. How we told it to ourselves, we went, we found enough out that I think we're going to find out. Until we do it, we're not going to know any more.
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem reckless and stupid? And if the answer is no, then do it. So we were going, is it reckless and stupid to take on a company that has all of those clients and all of those staff that we need? No, it doesn't. Right. What else do we know? God knows what else we don't know. So let's get in and find it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like, I think that was it. If you know enough to begin, then begin, sort of thing. Yeah.
And the path will unfold. Just trust that you'll find your way.
Yeah, you trust you find your way, you keep open, you keep optimistic, and that's what helps you, I think, deal in the moment when situations arise.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into it too scared, then you might just freeze up, to be honest.
How do you keep that spirit of adventure? Because when things are going well, it's easy, isn't it, to kind of look forward to what you've got going on that day and relish the adventure.
Yeah.
But if something's gone a bit tits up,
yeah,
then how do you pick yourself back up and carry on leading?
It could be to do with character, couldn't it? I don't know, right? Is it the kind of character and life experiences we've had? Yes. It's probably that, isn't it? I think that puts you as the sort of person that can do that. I can certainly look at me as a character and back at my life and kind of recognise that anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So can you teach it? Yeah, I think you can teach it because it's just a mindset. I've got my mindset through experiences. I think you could probably teach it to someone if someone needed that mindset.
If you had a good coach, for example.
If you had a good coach, for example, you could probably do that. But I just find it a fairly default mindset for me.
Mm-hmm.
That in adversity, I can actually be fairly calm. I can compartmentalise it. I cannot run around with my bum on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sort of have faith. It's perspective. Realise, well, what's the worst that could happen? Well, the worst that could happen is this. Is that going to happen? No. All right, well, work yourself up from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So perspective is key. Otherwise, you will fret. You'll just fret too much running a business if you can't keep things in perspective.
It's that wonderful quote, isn't it? Of whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yeah. Whether you think you can or think you... Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yeah,
I like that one. Yeah. I quote that often.
You have to be happy with, okay, another thing really, because a situation presents itself and you don't know the answer. And maybe people are screaming at you for the answer there and then, and you just go, I don't know. I don't know yet. But I will know. I will know what I need to do, but I don't know yet. And I think even that calmness helps. And the confidence that you will have, because there is an object in front of you and you've got to move around it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to find a way. So I guess that you think you can, you can't. Just because you don't know it right at that moment, don't panic.
Well, therein lies another really important quality, which is backing yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I think self-doubt is stops people from even starting.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think it does. Do you know, another thing perhaps that's important there is the people you work with.
Mm.
And being in a good team, because it's backing yourself, but if you've got other people that you can back as well, it's better. I'd find doing what I've done pretty hard on my own. I've spoke to friends who are in similar situations, some who are doing a similar thing on their own, mm-hmm. some who aren't, and I've said, you know, it's going to be difficult on your own at times, this. You're going to need other people to just think with you
yeah.
and share the pain. You're going to need to be able to talk to that person when you're looking at some particularly tricky situation and still actually have a bit of black humour about it. Because
mm.
I find that helps as well.
Yes, if you can't laugh at some of the situations
you
that
have
that
to. Helps for me, a bit of black humour helps me, yes. It's not quite gallows humour, but you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
So obviously you co-own with Guy Weston, you've talked about the balance you have to the partnership.
Yeah.
The board has grown recently
yeah.
with the
yep.
with the partnership with Jump.
Yeah.
How's the leadership evolving, would you say?
Yeah. Well, it is evolving. We've obviously all met each other quite a lot of times previously. We have a great chair in Glenn Patterson,
mm-hmm.
who has done this stuff before and is pretty confident and has filled us with confidence that this is an evolving situation, and within the year we'll all know really our positions and roles and responsibilities pretty well, and we'll all have worked together enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all would agree about each other that no one's a twat,
mm.
if I can use the word on the podcast.
Please do.
And I think that's important. I've certainly came across some opportunities in my time to work with people and at a business level of businesses, and looked at it and gone, I couldn't work with you because I don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important, because you can be quite vulnerable. You know, you're going to be in situations where you have to really lead. You might have to think yourself out of a really tricky situation, and therefore you're on display to everyone. So you can be quite vulnerable in those situations if you don't feel that you've cut the mustard,
mm-hmm.
or you weren't as good as you could have been. So you need a team around you who kind of get it, because we're not all machines, are we? And likewise, to support you when things are good. So I think for me it's crucial. So I think it's a good solid team with people who trust each other, right? So that gives us a great basis going forward. And another thing that I've noticed quite initially is me and Guy were spread pretty thin.
Yeah.
Even so, think about doing it on your own. Me and Guy were doing it with two people and still getting to the point with 17 staff with two people where it was delegation, it was knowing what the most important thing, what's the next most important thing we should do. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a load of stuff here and they all seem pretty important, but what's the best way of going about it and what's the next most important thing? One thing that's great now is, of course, we need more people at Borderville because we've got a lot more staff as well, but actually we're not spread as thin, and the things that were just getting done slowly are now getting done a lot more quicker, which is just wonderful. It's great, in fact. I love it.
Fantastic. And what about innovation and creativity? So your background is obviously coming up through the ranks as creative director.
Yeah.
How do you keep it fresh, keep that culture of innovation as you grow?
It's a very good point, and I don't really have the answer quite yet because it's fairly new. But instantly, the influx of different people with the two design teams has helped. Round the board, because we're coming from lots of different kind of fields, if you like, already gathering around an inbound lead that we've got or something that we've been working away at, a project that we've been working away at to try and really discover the opportunities. Already having all these different heads around and looking at from different angles has been great. So in terms of innovation, creativity, creative thinking, already there, just because you've got people from all these different fields. So I can see the benefit of a wider spread board than a niche.
Yeah.
Deep
absolutely.
In a niche, it's harder, I think, to get different perspectives.
Yeah. What about yourself? How do you keep yourself engaged and interested? You know, what kind of gets your creative juices flowing these days?
From the days when I was a designer,
mm.
doing the job, it was wonderful. Love doing the job. Mm. Don't do that very often now, of course, because there's business to run and there's business admin and there's all sorts of things. But something that will be good, I think, with the new company is, again, not spreading thin, is that there will be more time to focus on the stuff that I'm actually good at, yeah. Right? You can focus on your strengths. There's enough of us, and we all have our strengths, to now actually focus on our strengths. And then the business admin part of it is just a bit more shared. So that's a great benefit. So
you've got a bit of space to do what you do best.
There's a bit of space to do what you do best, I think, for everybody. So that was a fairly unexpected outcome so quickly. But it's apparent so quickly because the pitches that we're already on and our responses to briefs that we're already on are just far deeper and broader, mm. broader and deeper mm-hmm. than they would have been prior to it. So that's exciting. Isn't it?
Absolutely,
really?
Yeah. Space, I mean, to think. And
nothing's been the same for like, you know, each year, from the last 6 years, it's changing. So that in itself is good. I guess that's going back to the character who likes the adventure.
Yes.
Then you kind of, it's not pathological. I don't make things change for the sake of it, you know, because that could be destructive. But I like being on a journey where things will change because you're on a journey that you can still see has still got a lot of time to go. So it's great. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just curious to know what constitutes adventure for you these days. You know, what is there a vision of where you want to take the company, or what is it?
Okay. Well, growth is a huge part of why we're doing it. And of course, actually, as a board of six, it's quite heavy for the amount of staff we are today.
Yes,
but that's because it's the foundations. So that will happen. Already stronger in the work that we're producing. So the growth is going to be the challenge. Mm-hmm. That's what the adventure is going to be. The level of client, the level of project we're doing is going to change, which is going to be the adventure. We're going to be going up another tier. So this is going to be another level where you really get to test yourself. So, and I guess the testing yourself, yeah, that's the adventure, isn't it, as well?
Mm, absolutely.
You're testing yourself. There's a lot of skills that you develop that you can't always use, and they sort of, you're aware that they're sitting dormant sometimes. So I think going back to before, I think we're all looking forward to being able to just get our strengths really playing well. And in some of these new projects, we're going to get to do that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What about leadership? Because that's a key part of entrepreneurship and yeah. running a business, isn't it? Is how do you inspire, if I can use that word, how do you inspire the team? More pulling together.
I don't know. You're probably better ask them.
Yeah,
but,
good point. Yeah.
But we feel, it's palpable, right, when you've got a good team, and
yeah.
it is.
Yes.
Likewise, when it isn't.
Yes.
And because you sit in the same room, you communicate with people, and it was probably a year or so into Creod where me and Guy, because first of all, there's loads of operational things to fix. There's a little bit of churn in the staff. Not too bad. One lad actually came back, which is great. And we were going, do you know what? It's palpable now. We can feel it. This is our team, and we all feel like we're all one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a while ago, and that has remained. We have a good relationship with the staff, both as bosses, because, you know, if they look for you to lead as well, and if you don't lead, then they'll lose faith in you as a leader. But also, we're pretty good at having a good relationship with them as well.
Mm.
So I think you get people then, therefore, happy to be in work. You get people that want to be in the team, so you get that extra whatever percent you're going to get. We haven't had, the only time people have left in the last couple of years have been quite genuinely, I'm going up to another level that you can't offer me here. We
yeah.
haven't had any bad leavers,
yeah.
which is a really good sign. So the people that are here want to be here, and if they're going to leave, they're going to leave for something we can't offer them. All well and good, really.
Yeah.
So I think that's important, right? Creating that culture. Not forcing the culture, because you can talk about culture. The culture gets created. You can't really put it onto people. So you just create the environment for it to happen. I think it's good like that. Again, it's probably worth saying about that point leadership. We have had some situations that have needed dealing with, for instance, been some situation time with staff. There's been things over projects with clients who have run amok, and the staff know they're running amok, and they look to you and kind of go, are you going to be able to sort this out? You have to do it. You have to step up, and the staff have to see you step up in order, I think, to retain the respect that they're working for the right sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you don't walk around consciously displaying it. It's in your actions, I think.
Yeah, yeah, put your money where
you do, yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever had, like, a pinch me moment where you've gone, oh, my God, I'm the boss?
I think the first day we were in Creo, like I described before,
you and guys four at staff, each other.
Next morning, 8:30, just sitting in this room and just catching people looking at you because they're trying to look at your face and judge you. They want to hear you talk. They want to try and suss what sort of person you are. That was a, oh, shit. All right, bloody hell.
Better do this now.
That was a bit of a pinch me. And then everything else has really felt quite natural, to be honest. It's kind of like, well, of course, this is what you should be like. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like, yeah, of course, this is what we should be doing.
That's because
I don't feel overwhelmed yet.
One thing I love about working with you is that you are so authentic. You know,
well, thank you, Claire.
There's no bullshit. You tell it like it is, and you don't say something unless you mean it.
Yeah.
And
it's
in tech land and digital land, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
You don't, you're not arrogant, and there's no bullshit basically. So it's I think the team and clients.
Well, I think they do.
That.
Yeah, they do. Which is why that top down. If you're too top down with how you're managing people. And certainly with culture, you just can't be top down with culture.
Yeah.
Then you're right. You think you'd be in the realms of just peddling platitudes and bullshit and whatnot. So.
Well, on that point, there are a fair few digital agencies in Leeds.
Yeah.
How do you differentiate? How do you?
Yeah, it's hard. Well, except for us, because of course we are different. Yeah.
Well, obviously.
Obviously, because everyone's different. It's hard, but at the same time, you should also recognise that there's lots of good agencies around, and so there should be.
Mm.
That's fine.
So is that about healthy competition then? Everyone
well, I think it is. You know, if you're on a roster with other agencies for a large client, accept that they're good. They're on the roster because they're good, and they do good work, and don't see it as, well, my job is to come and eat as much of this account as I possibly can, even though that's kind of part of what you're meant to do in some respects, because you want to grow an account. But if you're growing it, someone might be doing the work already. But I guess what I mean is that in terms of recognizing competition, good, there's some great agencies around. You'd be silly to differentiate as the leading or the best. That'd just be daft, wouldn't it? So we try and do it around skill sets. We try and do it around just chemistry. But again, it doesn't mean that you get it. If you believe that about yourself, then you'd win every single job, which is just bollocks, isn't it? So,
Does it just come down to relationships then, do you think?
Massively comes down to relationships, but also, if you're around long enough, it comes down to delivery and reputation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And going slightly off subject, but I said this to someone recently, I want my company to be the sort of place, I want my company to be the kind of place where my children could come and work and not feel really proud that they're working there.
Okay, that's a lovely way of looking at it.
Because the projects go well, the clients are happy, and the people like working there. And it's actually quite hard to get all of that working, because certainly projects can go wrong, and certainly clients can get unhappy. But why did they go wrong, and how do you get out of it, and how does the relationship either carry on with the client, or how does it end civilly?
Mm-hmm.
These things are really important. You can't expect it to be perfect all the time, but the worst environment, which happens, is a bit of a fuck it, I'm just going to kick this thing till it breaks, I don't care. All of that is just horrendous.
Yeah.
But if you're not careful, that happens. If you're not careful, it happens because clients aren't looked after properly, and people aren't perhaps skilled up enough to do what they're doing. People have had too much pressure put on them, and they just crumble. So this is why it's so important to just keep an eye on all of those things. And the marker is, if my daughter, for instance, came to work here, would she feel proud? Or would she go, oh God, people don't like working there and it's my dad's company? Mm. It was quite an interesting acid test, I thought.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like that one.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads me nicely to the next question is, you and I both have 3 children.
Yeah.
Your wife runs a successful business as well.
Yeah.
Talk to me about balance, because let's face it, you and I, we're not in our 20s anymore. We can't work 70-hour weeks.
Sadly.
And
no.
Kind of throw everything at building businesses. Well, I certainly can't. I don't know where you land on this.
Yeah.
But how do you run a successful business and still have a life and, you know, recognise your children?
I do. Actually, I think when I was employed in kind of middle management level, I was more disengaged from my family.
Okay.
I recognise now that that's quite a difficult level to be at, that middle management level.
And
classically so as well, as you can read a lot about. Squeeze from both sides, trying to further your career, but never really being fully in control. And I guess one of the things of working for yourself is having that full autonomy. Yeah, how hard am I going to kick myself if that goes wrong? There is a problem coming and I can see it. Actually, it's far more relaxing than not, than really not knowing any of it. So when I started working for myself, I genuinely became more engaged with my family. I started to know what my kids were doing for their homework because I was doing school drop-off.
Mm.
School drop-off and school pick-up are very, very valuable because you just connect with your kids' school. You talk to your kid about school when you pick them. Well, actually, they always say, I don't know, when you ask them what I did today. But
it comes out randomly.
You have a brief window to engage, which is about their day. So drop off and pick up as many times as you can, I think, are crucial. You will engage a lot more. You'll know what the homework is. Do the homework with them. Homework's on the weekend. Be the one that does it. All of these things. I don't really, unless we have to, I don't work on weekends. And I think we're quite all like that because we've all got families. If you really have to do something, it's your own business and you'd be neglectful if you didn't, it'd be stupid.
Yeah.
But not as a constant worry. You could create yourself at a constant level of anxiety if you just felt you had to constantly be working, because there was always something to do, no question. But sort of feel okay at doing when they need to be done. You do the hours when you need to do the hours. And if you don't need to do the hours, spend them with your family.
It comes back to another important quality of entrepreneurship, which is connect with your why. You know, why are you doing this? Why are you putting yourself through the roller coaster?
Yeah. And why are you doing it? You're probably doing it for ultimate financial security that you want to share with your family. So don't bypass them along the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think that's quite a nice round point to conclude on, isn't it?
Okay.
Brings us full circle.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure.
Yep.
And keep in touch on it.
Thank you, Claire.
So I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed recording it. Drop me a note on my website, www.claireackers.com, to let me know your thoughts. If you were inspired and would like to know more about working with me to transform your own leadership journey, check out my signature Audacity Leadership Programme. It's available for one-to-one online coaching, and also my digital course, Audacity Academy. There's also a brilliant selection of workshops available, which are an amazing way to invest in your team. Until next time, stay safe, Claire.